Open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 13. Be in prayer with me, if you will, about where to go after we complete Hebrews. I've got something in mind or a couple of things maybe, but pray with me about it. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll begin reading with verse 10 and read down through verse 14. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And we'll look at these verses tonight, if you'll leave your Bible open to that passage, and I'll speak to you for a while on the subject. Outside the camp with Jesus. Now, Lord, as we come approaching the Word of God, how privileged we are in this country to have the Bible so freely. We pray that you'll help now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be clear, I pray, in seeking to explain and apply these verses. I pray that you'll help me to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that it might be a help and a blessing to some of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to keep a couple of things in mind here in the book of Hebrews. Number one, we need to remember that the Old Testament sacrificial system pointed to and was fulfilled by and in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us this. The sacrificial system, the human priesthood, all that, that was good. That was God's plan for Israel in the Old Testament age. But when Jesus came and fulfilled it, it passed away. Those who rejected Christ and held on to the Old Testament system were then involved in apostate false religion. And then a second thing that we need to remember is that the Christians to whom Hebrews was written were people who were straddling the fence. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they also wanted to be accepted by their unconverted Jewish kinsmen who rejected Christ and held to the Old Testament system. And so the book of Hebrews says to them, quit straddling the fence, go ahead and make the break. Now, the passage that we read as our text tonight is a marvelous passage in the book of Hebrews, and it is a passage that I believe that possibly maybe we have not emphasized as much as maybe it needed to be emphasized. And the truth expressed here especially is a truth that we need to focus on, and that is that we're to go unto Jesus without the camp, outside the camp. Somewhere along the line, I'm afraid we grew tired of the reproach that went along with being Bible-believing fundamental Baptists. We got tired of being known as fanatics and religious nuts and Bible thumpers and began to cave in to the desire to be accepted by the world. Now, I say we've forgotten that our place is with Jesus without the camp, outside the camp. Now, I'm not saying that we need to try to be obnoxious on purpose. I'm simply saying that if we try to obey the Bible, try to live right, try to be Christ-like, we'll automatically find that we're not loved by the world. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so then, the author of Hebrews tells his readers, these people who were straddling the fence. They wanted to stand for Christ, but they also wanted the approval of their Jewish kinsmen who were still adherents of apostate religion of Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews tells them, make the break. Come outside the camp where Jesus is. And he uses some very striking typology in making his point. Now we're going to see in these verses tonight four things. First, in verses 10 and 11, we'll see the shadow. Then in verse 12, we'll see the substance. Then in verse 13, the statement. And finally in verse 14, the support. And so then, I call your attention first in verses 10 and 11 to the shadow. In these verses, the apostle goes back to the Old Testament Levitical law and tabernacle service and sets forth an ordinance that was performed in the Old Testament economy on which he'll build the reasoning behind his command for the Hebrew Christians to be willing to bear the reproach of Christ. Now bear in mind that he was writing to people who were trying to straddle the fence between New Testament Christianity and apostate Judaism. They wanted Jesus, but they also wanted to please their Jewish kinfolk who were still practicing the dead religion of apostate Judaism with its animal sacrifices and human priesthood and all of that. He says in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. So he sets forth in this verse the absolute opposition of New Testament Christianity to the type of so-called Judaism which was being practiced by the apostate Jewish kinsmen of these Hebrew Christians. And what he's saying is this, those people who were still worshiping in the Old Testament fashion with the tabernacle and temple ritual, they were involved in a totally different system than the one that these Hebrew Christians were involved in. You see, our altar where our sacrifice for sin was made is the cross of Jesus Christ. In his death on the cross, he fulfilled all of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple ritual. But those who were still worshiping at the time Hebrews was written, after the Old Testament pattern, had rejected the sacrifice of Christ. They were not partakers at the same altar as the New Testament Christian who had received Christ as Savior. And so he's building a case for separation. He's saying apostate Judaism is not the same as New Testament Bible Christianity, and you have no common ground with those who are involved in it, so therefore come out and be separate, as the Bible puts it. I'm sure you've talked to people, as I have, that say, well, one's good as another, you know, the Catholics or church or the Jewish synagogue or the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall, all the same. Well, all of that might be the same, but none of it's New Testament Christianity. And so he says, Christians, you don't have common ground with the apostate Judaizers. You've partaken at an altar that they have no part in nor right to as long as they hold on to their apostate system. And then in the next verse, are you following me, brother? I'm not. Somebody prayed for my mind to be sharp. I don't think God answered that prayer yet. So then in the next verse, he goes back into the Old Testament law and shows from typology how separation and reproach were pictured in the Old Testament offerings. Now, the key phrase in the next three verses is without the camp or without the gate. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Now, in this verse, he speaks of the sin offering that was offered in Old Testament days by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Now, various offerings were offered in various contexts. The peace offering was offered and a portion given back to the individual to eat in joyful thanksgiving for the Lord bringing peace to his soul. Many offerings were offered, a portion given to the priest as his part. But the offering on the Day of Atonement, which is spoken of here in verse 11, was different. The offering was offered on that day. The high priest took the blood into the Holy of Holies, only day of the year that he could, that anybody could go in there, and he could only go with the blood and take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The animal was then taken outside the camp and completely burned. Now, you can read about these various ordinances connected with the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. But the thing he's focusing on here is that the animal that was offered for the sin offering, whose blood was taken into the sanctuary and sprinkled on the mercy seat, that animal was taken outside the camp and was burned without the camp. Now, why is that? Why was it burned without the camp? Okay, in studying the Old Testament, you find that there were certain types and classes of people who were required to stay without the camp, outside the camp. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1, eunuchs were without the camp. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2, illegitimate children were without the camp. Deuteronomy 23:3, Ammonites and Moabites were without the camp. Deuteronomy 23 verses 7 and 8, Edomites were without the camp. Deuteronomy 23:10, the ceremonially impure were without the camp. Deuteronomy 23 verses 12 through 14, without the camp was the place of uncleanness. Leviticus 13 verses 45 and 46, lepers were without the camp. Now, did you hear all that? So what you have is essentially the motleyest kinds of people were without the camp. The people and things that others looked down on, maybe looked on with disdain, maybe looked on with disgust, that was where the sin offering was taken to be burned on the Day of Atonement, out to this place where it was unclean and where these various people had to stay. Why? Because it was setting forth in typology one of the most beautiful pictures and shadowing one of the greatest truths in the Bible. What truth was it shadowing? What was it showing us when they'd take that animal outside the camp and burn it? That brings me to the second thing, that is the substance in verse 12. Verse 11 shows the Old Testament figure. Verse 12 shows the New Testament fulfillment. The figure was that the sin offering was burned without the camp, out where the unclean place and the motley crowd was. What was the fulfillment of that type? What was it picturing? Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What was pictured by the sin offering of on the Old Testament Day of Atonement being burned without the camp in the unclean place? It pictured the offering of Jesus Christ when he suffered and paid the final sacrifice, which put away sin forever and sanctified, set apart all who would trust him. His shed blood, he suffered without the gate, outside the city of Jerusalem. He suffered out in the unclean place, Golgotha, the place of a skull, where only slaves and the most violent types of criminals were slain. Why did Jesus suffer out in the unclean place where criminals were? Number one, because he was taking the sinner's place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he died for the unclean, for the motley crowd that the world despises. And then secondly, because that was what the world thought of him. The world looked at Jesus as one to despise, as one to disdain, as one to hate, as one to ridicule. So they took him without the gate to the unclean place, and he fulfilled the type set forth in the Old Testament Day of Atonement sin offering. But wait, there's a reason why the apostle has said all this, and that brings me to the statement in verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So, based on what he said, now he gives us this admonition. Jesus bore the reproach and the shame of sin for us without the camp. Now we're supposed to go out there where he is and bear reproach for him. If we're very much like Jesus, the world that hung him on the cross is probably not going to think a great deal of us either. And we don't have a right to expect them to think, are we greater than our Lord? But the thing of it is, you know, without the camp, you find that the fellowship with the Lord is sweeter out there. The verse doesn't say go for him without the camp. It says go unto him. He's already out there. Those who have known real fellowship with the Lord have been those largely outside the camp. The Spurgeons who died outside the Baptist Union of England, the John Bunyans, 12 years in the Bedford jail, Dwight L. Moody, whom they called Crazy Moody, Billy Sunday, they accused of being a crook, and on and on and on. These were people that were without the camp, but there they found Jesus in sweet fellowship. And so the apostle tells us, quit trying to be popular and well-liked and approved. Bear his reproach without the camp. Go without the camp unto him. And then that brings me to the fourth thing, the support. Verse 14, he encourages us to do what he has said by showing us this in verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Yes.
We can get all the approval that the world has to give, but that'll pass away because we don't have a continuing city here. When we gain God's approval, it's eternal. We'll live in his city eternally forever. And thus, the basic thrust of the passage is, go forth unto him without the camp. Father, would you bless now the things that we've tried to bring out from your word tonight?